Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It. I'm Matt Katz, filling in for Allison Stewart today. A debut novel from poet and author Fariha Roisin tells the story of a young woman finding herself in the face of immense trauma. The book is titled Like a Bird, and it follows the story of Talia, a young Jewish and Indian woman who has always felt second best to her older sister, the lighter-skinned Alyssa. Talia has a childhood of wealth and privilege on the Upper West Side, but she is raised by parents who are emotionally distant and hypercritical. When Talia is violently raped by a family friend and two other men, her parents refuse to hear her side of the story. Instead, they kick her out. But when Talia gets taken in by a local cafe owner named Kat, she discovers the power in building your own community and in finding your own self-worth. Like a Bird can be purchased now at your local indie bookseller. And Fariha Roisin joins me now to discuss. Listeners, we'd also just like to mention that this conversation will touch on sexual assault. If this isn't the right time for you to hear this interview, you can stream it later online or on your favorite podcasting app, or just take a break and join us again in the next hour. And if at any time you feel you need support, please call the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Their number is 1-800-656-4673. They're open 24 hours a day. Hello, Fariha. Thank you so much for coming on All of It.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I would love to just start by having you read the very first passage of the novel for us. Could you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. To be a person was a great mystery to me. Even at a young age, I felt heavy with the weight of dissatisfaction. Like a frog in warming water, I had spent much of my early years feeling as if I were slowly simmering toward my own demise. As if I were sedately on a low setting, boiling to death. And yet, I was nothing if not quietly ambitious. I didn't know how to locate my compass, but I knew I had one. Looking back, maybe that's what eventually saved me, my desperation to survive, even if I didn't know if I really could. Because since childhood, forlorn and fast-eyed, the most abstract of all emotions to me was happiness. How did one get it? I wanted to own it, to have it in my possession, beaming out, because I, Talia Chatterjee, had never been happy. It's something that I had never fully understood either, as I had two parents who hated themselves and together passed down their own qualities of self-loathing onto me. That's it.
Wow, Fariha, that's beautiful. Why did you want to introduce the reader to your protagonist through these descriptions of her depression?
I think self-hatred is one of those things that are, you know, so many of us battle with, and we don't even know what it looks like most of the time. We can't even articulate it, you know, that understanding, because it seems like such an exaggeration, like self-hatred. You know, it seems like something that only people that really have real problems feel, but it's something that I think a lot of us feel, that kind of isolation of not being loved, of not knowing what love is, not knowing what happiness is. And so it felt really important for me to root this character's life in that truth, because I think that really is something that comes up so often in her story and in her journey, because ultimately, you know, even in my own life, this understanding of never being loved and never feeling happiness kind of plagues me. So yeah, that's why I did it.
Does that continue to plague you? Did the writing of this help you self-actualize certain ways you might experience the same sort of self-hatred in any way?
Yeah, I mean, I started writing it when I was 12, so I've been writing it for 18 years. So
incredible.
I think naturally through time. Yeah. I mean, naturally through time, of course, you evolve, and you hope that you evolve. And definitely, I think at a young age, I had some kind of understanding, like I was looking into an oracle, that I felt you know, if I could write this story, I would find some kind of catharsis. And I didn't have therapy. I wasn't raised with money. So I didn't have access to things that a lot of other people might have had. I had two Muslim immigrant parents who really didn't know what to do with themselves, let alone what to do with me. And so writing became this tool for me to understand through a very abstracted and kind of distant way my own pain. So absolutely, I think I was able to gain more access into understanding myself and therefore loving myself and slowly, you know, attaining a self-acceptance, I guess. But yeah. It's such a journey and it's such a process, and that's something that I definitely want to show in Like a Bird. There's no arrival. You know, you don't arrive at happiness. It really is something that you have to stay focused on and committed to for, you know, throughout your life.
Yeah. Looking back on the story you first envisioned and thought about as a 12-year-old compared to the book you've published, was there something you tackled in the final result that maybe you couldn't have really addressed as a young writer?
No, because it's always been a story about rape. It's always been a story about gang rape, you know, that, I mean, even as a 12-year-old, I think we just assume that children aren't as porous as they are, but I understood everything and I knew that it was wrong and I knew that it was bad. And beyond that, I understood that there wasn't any safety for survivors. And 18 years later, there really isn't, you know, we still have, you know, people in powerful positions that are rapists that are, you know, not being brought to justice. So it is a reality and it is ubiquitous. And sexual abuse is something that, you know, every person of every gender can experience. And so I think even as a 12-year-old, I had some kind of boldness that I'm not sure how I excavated it or where I excavated it from. But I really, really felt that this is a survivor's journey and it needs to be a story about that. And I feel like I've really stayed true to that.
Yeah, your dedication reads, "To every survivor, I wrote this for us." How do you hope that survivors of sexual assault react and engage with this novel and with Tavia's story?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you know, one thing that you have to do when you write, you have to accept that not everybody's going to like your work and it might not even resonate with, you know, the populace. And you have to be okay with that because it is an offering. Whatever you're doing is an offering. But I really, really hope that people can use this as a template and that they can use it as a roadmap to understand that it is possible to find true joy and be able to at least, you know, process and learn and understand the things that have happened to you, and almost filter them or sublimate them into something else. I think, you know, because it's such an impossible and terrible thing that happens, or not impossible, it's a terrible thing that happens, but people think it's an impossible thing to overcome. I really wanted to write something that could make people hopeful about the journey, I guess, mm-hmm. You know, and that's been really what it's been like for me as a survivor as well. So I'm definitely on this journey as well.
I mean, because this novel is also about sexual discovery, and you've spoken openly about your own journey with sexuality and queer identity. Are there elements of your own sexual discovery that have made it into this novel?
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's a young woman who's trying to understand herself and has never felt desirable or beautiful. And I think that that's something, again, that a lot of us can relate to. I was you know, a queer Muslim Bangladeshi kid growing up in the suburbs of Sydney in Australia. I didn't, you know, I was surrounded by whiteness. I didn't think that my body had any validity being the way that it looked. And that's I think, yeah, a reality for a lot of us, and which is why, you know, when we talk about white supremacy, it is a supremacist standard because it usurps everything. So, I mean, those elements, and then finding desirability and learning to be desirable is such an act. It's such a thing that you have to sort of compute and understand, and so much unlearning goes into that process. And those things I really wanted to show throughout the book, you know, the intricacies and the nuances of her experience of being a non-white body adjacent to whiteness and learning to love herself despite all the things that she feels are failures or foibles. You know, I think that is definitely my own journey, and it's still something that I'm overcoming every day.
And that certainly comes through in the novel. I'm curious, before we let you go, what it was like to work on something for most of your life and then actually hold like a bird in your hand, to actually, you know, feel that hard, that book, that hardcover, for the first time after spending your life on this.
Yeah, you think it's going to be this monumental thing, and it is in a lot of ways, you know, it is, but I'm a person, and maybe this is abuse. Maybe these are the things that I'm actually locating in the book. I found it really embarrassing. I was really nervous. I wasn't excited. And that's sort of my own relationship to my work. Oftentimes, I think something I'm always trying to locate is, or understand is through my own work, is how important trauma writing is. You know, I think we don't think it's intellectual. We think that, you know, talking about pain is morose or whatever, but it's actually, I think, a pivotal way for us to move toward a future, a better future for everybody, if we had more transparency over the things that have happened to us. And why we are who we are, and why we are the ways that we are. So I think the more I sit with that, the more I sit with the fact that I dedicated 18 years of my life, and you know, I think Flaubert wrote Madame Bovary over 40 years. Like, I've been looking at like a lot of these, like, you know, old career writers,
and
I guess like one testament to myself is that, yeah, a lot of people my age haven't written a book over 18
right.
years, so
right.
I have to sit with that, you know, and be proud of that, I guess.
Fareeha, I've been speaking with Fareeha Roisin about her debut novel, Like a Bird. Fareeha, thank you for sharing your story with us, or for sharing your novel with us, and for joining us on All of It.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this conversation.